Welcome to episode 217 of the G2 on 5G. It's the latest inside scoop on everything 5G. We cover six topics in about 20 minutes, and it's brought to you by More Insights and Strategy. I'm Will Townsend, and joining me again this week is fellow analyst Anshul Sag. Let's get started with my first topic, and I want to talk about telecom AI. And I recently published a Forbes article examining several global mobile network operators that are effectively leaning into modern AI, generative and agentic, to delight subscribers and improve operational efficiency. So in this piece, I focus on AT&T, NTT Docomo, T-Mobile, Verizon, and Vodafone. And I wanted to get this published before Mobile World Congress. We're going to talk a lot about Mobile World Congress towards the end. But from my perspective, these operators are leaning into next generation, modern AI architectures, and they're doing a lot of very innovative things. I have plans to meet with SK Telecom. They are actually included as well, so I failed to mention that. But at the end of the day, what's beginning to happen now, initially it started with doing things like intelligent truck rolls and improving customer support, but it's taking things to the next level. Not necessarily eliminating headcount and staffing, but really making customer service, field service professionals much more effective in what they do. And at the end of the day, churn is a big measurement that all MNOs use. And from my perspective, artificial intelligence can delight subscribers and reduce the likelihood of churn. So I know you've been a publishing fiend on Forbes. I don't know if you got a chance, my friend, to read my article, but what do you think about this? Is it hype or is it reality? I have an opinion. I think I made my opinion. But what do you think?
So the only thing I'll add is that I mostly agree with this piece, especially when you consider what we've been seeing over the last few months from different operators. I think this will just be a continued trend towards more operational efficiency. I will also say agentic and generative AI were the theme of the event I attended yesterday with Amazon and Alexa Plus. I didn't include it in my topics because it's not a 5G topic. It's very much a smart home kind of story. But it's quite clear that all forms of generative AI and agentic AI are starting to permeate throughout the IT sector, and telecom is no different.
Yeah. Good point, my friend. Let's go to your first topic. You want to talk about AT&T and AST Space Mobile and a video call. It's a big milestone, right?
Yeah. So when, I forget, this happened like a few days ago. I want to say 3 days ago now. Mm-hmm. So it happened this week. And basically it was a successful video call using the Bluebird satellites that launched last September. And this happened with I think it was a Samsung device, if I remember correctly. I was looking at the video. It looked like an S24, S25 Ultra. And it was done initiating a call from Midland, Texas, AT&T in Dallas, utilizing the AST Space Mobile satellite network. And they did it using BlueWalker 3 specifically. And yeah, this is another milestone in the partnership between both companies. I think the biggest hurdle, I think, was their official commercial engagement, which happened last year. Mm-hmm. This is a continuation of that relationship to a point where I think this will be something that becomes a fundamental part of AT&T's network. And even they talk about how it's going to be useful for first responders and rural areas, and that they say nearly half of AT&T customers already have access to peer messaging and emergency satellite services. It's really interesting and exciting. And video calling is not easy. Being able to show that, I think, is a demonstration of not only the stability of the connection, but also its throughput and latency. It's exciting. And I hope to see more developments between these two companies down the road.
Yes. You know, what's interesting about this, I was driving back from Kansas City to Bastrop last Friday, and I actually was invited to come to AT&T's headquarters to witness all of this. Unfortunately, the timing didn't work. And I understand that it actually occurred on Saturday. I don't think I'm disclosing any confidential information there, but it is very exciting. It shows the power, shows the promise of low Earth orbit satellite connectivity and how it can augment and supply gap coverage. And so it's just going to take AST SpaceMobile a little bit longer to get more birds in the air. Certainly, there's been a lot of news around what Starlink is doing. They have a significant greater number of satellites in the air right now. And, you know, I think we weighed in on social media and that commercial that ran during the Super Bowl and between T-Mobile and Starlink. But it's all exciting. From my perspective, it's just going to raise the innovation bar. I'm really looking forward to spending time in Barcelona next week and digging deeper into not only LEO, but some other topics that we'll talk about later in the podcast. But let's go to my second topic, and I'll be pretty brief with this. NTT and Palo Alto Networks announced a partnership for improving the security of NTT's private 5G platform. And it's no mystery, it's no secret that 5G provides a lot of encryption enhancements over LTE, but more is needed. And so what the two companies are doing together is Palo Alto is providing its next generation firewall solution. And then NTT is integrating that into their private 5G network fabric, if you want to call it that, to improve security posture and just provide an additional layer of defense. And I do expect to hear more news on this topic from Palo Alto Networks when I spend time with them in Barcelona next week. But it's powerful. And just hot off the presses, I just published a second Forbes article this week that goes into a little more depth about what NTT is doing to really drive the accelerated adoption of private 5G. Because as you and I have talked about on prior podcasts, it's been very long tail. There are a number of reasons why. I'm not going to mention them because I've probably mentioned them way too often. Don't want to repeat myself there. But I think this is a really positive move. Security is actually a very important point and aspect to private 5G, because so many of these networks are deployed in operational technology environments where you have a mix of different solutions. You have a lot of IoT, and there just needs to be higher levels of security to make all of that, again, very secure and functional. I don't know if you have any thoughts here. It's pretty straightforward stuff, but what do you think?
I do not have any thoughts here. Well, I will just keep it brief.
Okay. All right, man. Let's go to your second topic. And boy, Qualcomm is the marketing machine. I caught this as well. They've launched a new brand and it's super cool. And if you're a Game of Thrones fan, you'll probably like it even more. But why don't you share the details?
Yeah, basically Qualcomm is working on their branding. And so far, most people know Qualcomm. A lot of people know Snapdragon. But there's some things that don't really fit into Snapdragon because Snapdragon is a consumer brand. Mm. So what they've done is they've created a new brand called Dragonwing. I can't necessarily share the look of the logo here, even though we just recently got the ability to add images to our live streams. I don't know how to use it yet, but basically it's a really good logo, first and foremost. It's cool because it looks like a big dragon wing like this, and you can see like the dragon head. And mm-hmm. It fits really nicely into the Snapdragon and all the Dragon branded stuff.
Yeah.
And what's cool is it incorporates cellular infrastructure. So this is very relevant to WC and the podcast, networking infrastructure, and industrial and embedded IoT products. It's quite a big part of Qualcomm's business will fall under Dragonwing. However, some things are also losing the Snapdragon designation, like Qualcomm's modems. They are now Qualcomm modem, and then all of the CPU products, all of the graphics products, all of the Wi-Fi chipsets, specifically Wi-Fi chipsets, those are all under Qualcomm branding, and those are because they are horizontal across both consumer and enterprise, and that's why they keep the Qualcomm branding. So you now have this interesting situation where you have three different brands. You have Qualcomm, Dragonwing, and Snapdragon, but right now, they're still attaching the Qualcomm name to Dragonwing. They're not just calling it Dragonwing, it's Qualcomm Dragonwing. And I think once that brand gets enough strength over time, I think they'll drop the Qualcomm name from it. But I think it's good. I think they always struggled with a brand for what they're doing in infrastructure. And it also means I think that they expect to see more growth from that segment, and that they will have more opportunities down the road for more products to and potential product lines to fall within Dragonwing. So they're trying to grow their enterprise side. And yeah, other than that, it seems pretty straightforward. And I like it. It looks good. It's purple. But I think you'll probably see a lot of that at MWC. Mm. And that's a slight preview for our next topic. And I would love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, no, I think this is brilliant on their part. They needed to separate how they presented the brands in the market, consumer versus enterprise. And to your point, Qualcomm continues to push further and further into my boring area of coverage infrastructure. You get to cover all the cool devices and stuff like that and AR, VR. But I think it's wise. It makes sense because Qualcomm has been really focusing especially on its IoT platform. We've talked about MediaTek. They've got a very robust platform. I think one of MediaTek's challenges is they've almost over-rotated a little bit on the branding, and they've had this kind of proliferation of different sub-brands. And so I like what Qualcomm is doing here, focusing Snapdragon on consumer, Dragonwing on the enterprise stuff. And there'll probably be some additional kind of branding adjustments as they move forward. I agree with you. Mobile World Congress will be probably their big coming out party, just like it was for Nokia 2 years ago when they unveiled their new brand mark with an emphasis on focusing on enterprise and expanding their share of wallet beyond service providers. I think at a very high level, it's brilliant. You do find Snapdragon in a lot of enterprise infrastructure like smart cameras. So it'll be interesting to see how the branding changes on that. Cisco has been one of, or Meraki actually, has been one of the initial leaders in that category. And there are a host of other companies that do smart cameras that leverage computer vision for a host of consumer and enterprise applications as well. But I like it.
I was just going to add one more thing.
Yeah.
Verizon has already launched something with a Qualcomm Dragonwing product.
Oh, wow.
It's the Qualcomm RAN intelligent controller, and mm-hmm. Verizon's using that in combination with Samsung's AI-powered energy saving manager. I did not trip over that word. But yeah, that's something that they just announced as part of their Open RAN strategies. We're already seeing Dragonwing being used.
Cool. Maybe I can get you a t-shirt when I'm in Barcelona next week. But hey, that's a great way for us to wind up the podcast. We want to talk about Mobile World Congress Barcelona 2025 and provide our thoughts on what we expect to see at the event. I've been on the road for 3 weeks. I'm in Florida this week. Did my annual DIY project and got some new counters installed. And then I head back tonight to Texas. And then on Saturday, I'm back on a plane and head over with Patrick Moorhead to attend the event. But from my perspective, this isn't going to be super shocking. We're going to see a lot more low Earth orbit satellite discussions. I'm going to meet with a number of different companies. I get to meet with Abel at AST Space Mobile at the end of the week. I'm really looking forward to catching up with him. It's been a while since he and I have spoken. Satelliet, I'm going to meet with Jaime, the CEO there. And I've got several other low Earth orbit satellite related discussions scheduled. So I expect to hear a lot about that, number one. And then I guess the second point that I'm expecting to hear a lot about is this whole notion of AI RAN. And NVIDIA has really been leading the charge. You and I have talked about NVIDIA on prior podcasts. So they started out last year with this 6G cloud, and it's basically designed to be a testbed. And now NVIDIA is maturing that even further. In fact, I was able to be pre-briefed on the latest AI RAN announcements that are coming at Mobile World Congress. Can't talk about that right now. It's still under embargo.
Me too.
But I'll be sharing more shortly. But from my perspective, AI in the RAN could do an amazing number of things to just supercharge the capabilities of spectrum usage and antenna intuition, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, attenuation. And that's my Texas accent coming out. And just a host of other things. And it's interesting. So NVIDIA just announced earnings above expectations. I haven't looked at the stock recently. It's interesting. They're going to be moving from MWC directly into GTC.
I'll be there.
Yeah, and I'll be attending GTC virtually this year. But yeah, at a high level, low Earth orbit satellite, I expect to hear a lot about that at MWC. You know, I expect to hear more about AIRN, and I expect to see more players beyond NVIDIA that jump into that AIRN category. But what are you expecting? And I know that you're not going to be able to go this year, but what are you expecting out of Mobile World Congress this year?
Honestly, I would say it's a lot of the same stuff in terms of new modems, new Wi-Fi chipsets, a lot of the same kind of fundamental wireless stuff that we're used to. Yeah. But also, to your point, a lot more AIRN stuff and the next phase of AI in the network, but also AI on devices, more details and trials of agentic AI, more generative AI on device. I expect we'll see just more demos of AI running at the edge. So I think we're seeing this year where AI feels a lot more tangible as mm-hmm. opposed to something that's aspirational. So yeah. I think that's the theme that I'm getting from it. I also think that we might start seeing more demand for 5G being driven by AI. Mm-hmm. I think we're starting to see the beginning of that. Yeah. I do think it will be a multi-year effort, but nevertheless, I think it will be something that will grow with time. And because AI is moving so fast, I think maybe the hope is that if AI growth continues to accelerate, then that will take 5G with it.
Yeah, and we've talked about that on prior podcasts, how FWA has been a killer app, killer use case so far for 5G. But as modern AI becomes decidedly hybrid, moving from cloud to network edges, mobility is going to play an important role in that, right? And facilitating that inference and that training on the edge. So it's exciting. It's an exciting time to be in the technology industry and to see the sea change happening. And hey, cloud was really big, but I really do believe that as we enter the second half of this year, a lot more enterprise applications are going to surface. Initially, Gen AI has been fun for creating a song or creating an interesting image and that sort of thing. And my prediction is we're going to really see it move into the mainstream. We're going to really see it unlock a lot of enterprise use cases. We're already seeing that with security and co-pilots and reducing friction from SOC analysts onboarding and that sort of thing, internal situation report generation and whatnot. But its ability to really take AI ops within the network to the next level is pretty amazing. I've been weighing in. I've been spending time with Nokia recently. I've been publishing a ton of stuff. Formal papers. I'm in the process of doing some video work with them. And we'll be spending time with both Nokia and Ericsson next week at Mobile World Congress as well. But hey, my friend, we were speedy this week, but why don't you take us home?
Absolutely. We hope our viewers and listeners found this week's topics interesting. If anyone would like to provide insights on a future 5G topic for a future podcast, please reach out to us on social media. Will is at Willtown Tech and I'm at Anshul Sag. We hope you guys have a great weekend, and please tune in again next week, and don't forget to rate us and subscribe.